It's time for today's edition of Focus Fridays, a show each Friday in the 9 a.m. hour showcasing the elected, appointed, and volunteer positions right here in Holmes County. Focus Fridays is being brought to you by Hobbins Insurance, Holmes Siding, Rhodey's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. I am Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays, and today I am speaking with Holmes County Auditor Jackie McKee. Good morning, Jackie. Thanks for coming in and joining with us today.
Thank you for having me, Melissa. I appreciate the opportunity.
And your office is one that I know a lot of people think they know the things you do, but once they start hearing what all branches you have your arms in, they're going to be like, wow, there is a lot more to the auditor's office than what I thought.
You are correct. There's over 200 duties by Ohio Revised Code. And if you like, I'll give you a little tour and sum it up quickly.
Let's do that in just a sec. Let's first ask, how long have you been doing this job?
I took office in March of 1999.
So you've got...
I'm on my seventh term.
You've got quite a good tenure going on with what you're doing. You should be kind of starting to figure out what you're doing.
Yes. Yes, but it's learning every day.
And that's what makes it exciting.
Right, right. And we have things that cycle. So we go through things every 3 years. We cycle through things weekly, monthly, quarterly. And some things only happen one time a year. So there's lots of pieces to the puzzle to make everything work.
All right, and we are going to try to put some of those pieces together to see how the auditor's office kind of works. And so let's go ahead and kind of get a basic tour of how the auditor's office works.
All right, thank you. I'll give you a quick tour of the auditor's office. As I said previously, there are over 200 duties by the Ohio Revised Code that my office is responsible for. As the Chief Fiscal Officer, I oversee the administration and distribution of tax revenues, accounting for all county funds, the county payroll, and produce official financial statements for the county, state, and the federal governments. Other functions of the office, a big one that is a hot topic right now, is the real estate appraisal and assessment, real estate taxes, rates, personal property tax, bed tax, homestead, CAUV, which is a farm program, manufactured housing, special assessments, weights and measures, and all kinds of licensings, including dogs, tags, and kennel licensing, which is a big one for Holmes County. And there's many, many more. No 2 days are the same in the office.
And that makes it really exciting because you're not just sitting there doing over and over and over. Each day you get to be like, okay, today we're going to do this, or this is due today, or you get that change to keep it exciting.
Exciting most of the time, stressful sometimes, and all's good. I mean, you could have a list of things that you want to get done that day, and sometimes you don't even touch them. Things come in as we work with lots of departments, we work with auditors, we work with all the local governments, the schools. So any given day, things can come up that can change your plans.
And as you approach different timelines, like licenses due for the dogs in the kennels or taxes due for homeowners, it adds that, okay, here we're going to have this increase and here we're going to kind of have to relax a little bit.
That is correct. We go with the flow, and there's times we're super busy. We know it's all hands on deck. And then there's other times we can work on future projects, things that have been on the back burner. But we keep pretty busy with a small staff.
Now, what made you want to go for this? You know, now that we've seen how many different jobs you have under your belt as the auditor, what made you want to run and be the auditor for Holmes County?
Well, that's an interesting story. It was never on my radar. I was a stay-at-home mom, did some side bookkeeping jobs. I had a degree in accounting and marketing, and Richard Graven was the auditor, so that's way back, and he was not going to run again due to health reasons, and he approached me and asked me if I would run, and I first said,
I'm not sure. Then we decided it was good timing. My kids were going to be in the fourth and sixth grade, so we're kind of past that stage of being little. And I did go for it, and I'm thankful I did. So that door was open for me, and I took it, and it's worked out great.
And you'd do it again.
I would do it again. Yes.
And so did he give you kind of an idea of what went into it, or were you kind of just jumping in like, let's do this?
He did not. His health kept him from doing that. But I was Ripley Township clerk at the time. They're fiscal officers now. And so I had 9 years under my belt of the governmental accounting. So I did step in, but there was great staff there, seasoned staff. So I learned as I went, and also some vendors helped quite a bit. So there was a good team of people to get me up to speed. And like I said, I'm learning still every day after 26 years. And legislation changes, you know, things change as you go. Things are a lot different than they were 26 years ago. So you just keep up with the times and keep learning.
Are there any requirements that go into being the auditor to be able to run, or can anybody just run? Did you have to have a particular background to be able to do this?
I don't believe there's any requirements. I'm not aware of any.
If you didn't have all that fiscal in your background, do you think you would have thought about running for auditor?
No. No, I don't believe I would have, and I don't believe he would have asked me. He asked me because of our relationship. He worked with the local governments. He asked me because of the relationship I had of working under him and knew I could fill the role.
Well, that's a great way to start having somebody believing that you can do it as you head into the role, because sometimes elections can be tough. Being correct. On that ballot is nothing but nerve-wracking.
Correct.
All right, well, we'll get more into a deep dive into some of the different roles that you fill here on Focus Fridays. That's our Holmes County Auditor, Jackie McKee. I am Melissa Patrick for WKLM. Welcome back to Focus Fridays here on WKLM. I'm Melissa Patrick, and I am speaking today with Holmes County Auditor Jackie McKee, and we got a basic overview of the auditor's office in our last segment. And you mentioned, Jackie, that you are kind of the overseer of the financials for the county.
Correct. One of the duties of the county auditor is chief fiscal officer, basically the watchdog over the county funds, or the bookkeeper for all departments, so to speak. So we do multiple things. One of the things we do is we estimate revenue, and then we budget expenses, and the budgeted expenses cannot exceed the estimated revenue. This is a checks and balances. Then the commissioners approve the budgets. So we keep track of all that for the departments. We have 30 plus departments that we keep track of, and we help and assist them. We do payroll. We do all accounts payable, including the distribution of tax dollars to the schools, villages, townships. We distribute the gas tax the state sends us, the library funds. We do monthly financial reports, and we oversee the annual audits and comply with all the federal regulations. Is some of the things that fit under the fiscal officer. You could throw some other things in there, like the required financial reports for the feds, grant tracking, you name it, we do it under the financial portion.
So you're doing things for Holmes County, and you have to follow state requirements and federal requirements. So you've got a lot of, okay, I got to do this, 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 keep track of this, send this, and make sure you're following all of the regulations.
That's correct. We have state compliance, we have IRS compliance, and we have federal regulations. We have to do policies many times for these federal regulations that we have to have on record, and we have to be following those policies. And you want to get it right, because mistakes could cost you something down the road.
Or somebody else.
Correct. Correct. So it's important to be detailed, accurate, know where we stand, and give the commissioners a good picture of where we're at financially.
And you'd be seeing over all of those entities. If you make a mistake or get delayed on anything, that's also holding back some other entity or keeping funds from getting distributed to them if you're not right on top of everything and functioning at 100% at all times.
Correct. And that is part of the fiscal officer job as well. You mentioned the other local governments. So we watch over those funds as well. We issue them certificates of revenue based on what they give us. We give them an estimate of revenue they'll get from us with tax. So we prepare certificates of revenue for them, and then their appropriations, which are budgeted expenses, cannot exceed the estimated revenues. And correct, we just work back and forth, consult, advise. We help them with their levy information. We let them know when levies are coming up on the ballot that they may need to do new paperwork for. So it's a partnership with everyone on the fiscal part. It takes every department doing their part, and it takes us guiding that and then making sure it's all correct.
Now, how many people do you have in your office that are helping you keep track of all of this? Because that's a lot.
I have 9 employees total, but they are not all in the fiscal side. I have maybe 3 to 4 that are on the fiscal side, rest are on the real estate side.
At least having a couple extra eyes on that, I'm sure, really helps keep everything in focus and in line for what you need to do.
Correct. And extra eyes are always good. And with county government, there are checks and balances between the commissioners, the treasurer's office. Many things pass through more than one department. So those checks and balances are there to make sure it's accurate, make sure it's the expenses for a proper public purpose, make sure we're good use of taxpayer dollars, and make sure that the money is there. So when a department wants to pay a bill, they first do a purchase order that goes through us, and we make sure the money is in the budget prior to approving it. And if the money is in the budget, then it goes to the commissioners. So the checks and balances are there to make sure each step is properly done.
Because you don't want to spend more than you're bringing in or spend needlessly on items and put yourself in the hole.
That is correct. That's very, very important. And I personally have done the estimated revenues, and I like to tend to be on the conservative side. I don't ever want to overestimate an estimated revenue and then have someone overspend because their spend, the budget is based on that estimated revenue. So you tend to be a little bit conservative and go from there, and it's worked out well. And then what there is extra, the money it goes above and beyond the estimated, which would be the actual, will go towards the carryover balances.
Or if something big happens, it's always good to have that little bit of space to work with because you didn't budget all your money everywhere else. Because you never know when you're dealing with all of that, you never know when some emergency is going to happen these days.
That is correct. That is correct.
And so we will be back here with more on what the auditor's office does here in Holmes County. That's Holmes County Auditor Jackie McKee for WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick. Welcome back to Focus Fridays here on WKLM. I'm Melissa Patrick, and I'm speaking with Holmes County Auditor Jackie McKee, and we've been starting to really deep dive into the office. And when we kind of ended our last segment, we were talking about how you work as the chief financial officer, but there's some things that your office doesn't do as being in charge of the finances.
You're correct. That is one of the most important jobs done by myself, is serving as the chief fiscal officer. But a lot of people mistakenly believe that I have the responsibility for performing independent audits of local government and county government. But Ohio law leaves all the auditing to the auditor of state. So we guide people to make sure they're in compliance. We work to make sure everything's correct for our audits, and that's our goal. But county auditor is a little bit deceiving because people do think we audit things, and we do not. We make sure they're in line and correct and accurate and follow compliance so that we can strive to have a clean audit.
So you're given the framework from the state, and then the state comes and visits those who step out of the framework that they've been given.
That's correct. We go through that annually. We have an annual audit.
And the auditor's office, the state auditor's office, isn't the only state office that you guys work with. You have a lot of people giving you different frameworks for the different points of your job.
That is correct. For real estate, we're under the Ohio Department of Taxation mandates. For weights and measures, which we can get into later, we are under the Ohio Department of Ag. And then we also have to follow the IRS compliance book.
So you've got all these chiefs just kind of keeping an eye on what you're doing so you can help people make sure they don't have to deal with the big chiefs.
That's correct. That's what we do. And sometimes it's not pleasant, because we have to follow the compliance. We have to do what's right so that we don't get in trouble. And it's not our rules. It's normally state rules, state or federal rules that we're following.
And a lot of times folks want to blame the person that they see, the face that they see, and they don't realize that you're only doing what you have to do.
That's correct. And that's where education is important, explaining to folks what we have to do and why we have to do it. And generally, once people understand, they're good. They know that we're a means to an end.
You mentioned the education part. We're, you know, working on helping to teach people what your office does, but you also have information that you put out regularly for people to keep up with what you're doing.
That's correct. We've done that for, you know, all the years I've been here. We've tried to educate, whether it's in the real estate side or CAUV, which is a farm program, or licensing, you know, dog licensing will be coming up. We educate folks what they need to do. And also there's programs that we let folks know about, homestead programs, and make sure people living in their own house have the 2.5% reduction. So we work hard to get to let people know and just try to do the right thing every day.
And you have like a website, Facebook, a place where people can go to look this information up.
Yes. The website, lots of information on our website. We have everything there from you can pull up your house and see if there's levies on the ballot. You can see what a levy will cost you coming up. You can see where your tax money goes. You can see the value of your house. You can see the data we have on your house. And then there's lots of additional information on there. You can go under financials and you can see tax settlements and monthly county financial statements. It's just, it's a great resource. And when I started 26 years ago, people had to walk in the office to get that information. And now we're able to put it out there. And it's unbelievable how much that website's used. I should have brought the current stats. Thousands of hits from all over the country every day. It's unbelievable how much the website's used. So we try to keep that up. Lots of information on there. And if things are coming up, like an update, a real estate update, we will have that on there as well for folks to go to, so they have a source that they can easily know what's going on.
Anything you need to know about your office, the website will have it. And if they don't, they can call and they can talk to you.
Absolutely. They can call. And we also have, there's a way to email us too. And email, call, stop in. We're open 8:30 to 4:30 Monday through Friday. We will gladly assist.
And you guys are in the Clinton Street building?
Clinton Street building, suite 107, right by the treasurer's office.
And if you have questions, never be afraid to ask, because with what you guys deal with, it's important stuff and you need to have the right answers.
Yes. And if we don't have the answer, we will get it for you.
We've got so much more to talk about with what you do, and we'll get on that in the next segments here. We've got weights and measures to talk. We've got licenses to talk. We've got real estate, the hot topic to talk. So you definitely don't want to turn that radio dial. We're on Focus Fridays here on WKLM. I'm Melissa Patrick, and this is Holmes County Auditor Jackie McKee. We are back on Focus Fridays here on WKLM. I'm Melissa Patrick, and I am speaking with Holmes County Auditor Jackie McKee, and we've really started this deep dive. We're almost Marina Trench level here, and one of the things that you talked about that your office is in charge of goes under a different arm other than the financial version. It's weights and measures, which I think you said was the Department of Ag.
Correct. Under the Ohio Department of Ag oversees it. We are required to have a person that is certified in doing weights and measures. And we make sure there's accuracy in all the commercial scales and devices. So if you go get 10 pounds of propane, that's what you're getting. If you go to the gas pump, you buy, 20 gallons of gas, we want to make sure you're getting 20 gallons of gas. Same at the delis. Buy a pound of meat, you're getting a pound of meat. So it's a kind of behind the scenes working with the businesses, and it's to protect the consumer. And it's a good program. We have quite a bit in Holmes County, especially with our Amish population, all the little mom and pop places. But it's a good service to the consumers.
Because you don't realize how fast those machines will get off kilter, and a little bit starts adding up real fast.
It does. And many times we have found many of the errors are in favor of the consumer, but then that's also, we're protecting the business owner as well, because the business owner doesn't, especially this day and age, can't afford to lose product, unpaid for product. So it really is helpful to both, and we don't have many problems, but when we do, we work with that business and we get it corrected as soon as possible.
Because it's usually just a simple updating their machinery that they have, or, recalibrating their scales.
There you go, recalibrating. That's correct. They get a certified technician out, and they fix it up, give us a call back, and we go out and get the sticker on that it's good to go for another year.
And it's an interesting process. I used to work the scale at a scrapyard, so doing that calibration is an interesting process if you've ever seen it happen.
That's right. The Ohio Department of Ag comes out on our big, truck scales. They do the big projects, but we are there to oversee that and assist them.
And so along with the weights and measures, you guys also do a lot of licensing to make sure that people are official in the capacity that they're saying they are.
That's right. And I don't think they knew what office to put this stuff in, so they put it in A for auditor, or they put it in the auditor's office.
Enough to do.
That's right. We do dog licensing, vendor's licensing, junkyard licensing, cigarette licensing. The dogs and the vendor license are two big ones. Dogs takes up a lot of time. There's a lot of licensed dogs and a lot of kennel license issued in Holmes County. So we are actually already starting that process for 2026. And we will, behind the scenes, we'll be getting applications ready, cleaning up the files, working with the dog warden's office to get all the supplies and everything we need to make that happen. November, we'll start with our... Everything will be stuffed and ready to go, and we'll start with our advertising, working with the dog warden's office, which is fantastic to work with. And then December and January are just super busy with folks getting dog tags. So we have great options for dog tags now. It's so much easier. You can do it online. You can do it in person. You can do it by mail. So no excuse not to get your dog tag. We make it super easy.
And it also points out how important it is to keep your information updated. Like if you don't have a dog anymore, let your office know, or let the dog wardens know, so you guys don't have that paperwork to process and get out because that dog isn't there anymore.
Very good point. We do, after the license season's over, we do send out postcards for what could be called delinquents, but many times it is the dog has passed away. And then once those people do get that postcard, they'll call us and we'll clean up the file as much as possible. Or somebody's moved away. There's many reasons. But we always do that cleanup in early spring so we have a good set of file for the next year. And the large number of kennels in Holmes County, it also increases our workload quite a bit. So it's an interesting time for our office.
For sure. And you said you also work with the businesses for their vendor licenses. Mm-hmm. And so you've got a whole opposite side of licensing versus making sure you've got Fido and Ruff over here. You've got businesses, and you said cigarette licenses, and there's a lot of paperwork that goes in with that.
There is. And while many of these things are going on, for example, why dog tags are going on,
We're also implementing our farm program, CAUV, Current Agricultural Use Value Program, which helps farmers that are in commercial agricultural activity lower their taxes. Their taxes are based on soil type, not market value. So that timing also happens right during dog tags.
Why not?
So our door is revolving, people coming, folks coming in and out, helping folks with that. Also, homestead program is another one that, you know, first of the year, folks are coming in and we're helping them with that. So, yeah, it's a busy, busy time of year for us at the beginning of the year.
And so you've got that at the beginning of the year, and that's also when your new tax season starts, and we'll talk more about taxes in the next segment. I'm speaking with Holmes County Auditor Jackie McKee. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. This is Melissa Patrick with Focus Fridays, and we are back with Holmes County Auditor Jackie McKee. And we mentioned in the last segment, we were going to step in towards the taxes, but to really understand taxes, there's a part of it that we need to kind of get a better understanding of when it comes to real estate that kind of leads into that.
Thanks, Melissa. It is the duty of my office to see that every parcel of land and the buildings thereon are fairly and uniformly appraised and assessed for tax purposes. So the state has, in effect, this is where, when I mentioned earlier that we're under the Ohio Department of Taxation, every 3 years, the Ohio Department of Taxation mandates that I do an update of property. So we have a reappraisal, and a reappraisal is where appraiser reviews each property, makes sure the physical characteristics are accurate, and the data in the auditor's office is correct. So the primary objective is adjusting and equalizing property values so they reflect the market changes from the last 3 years. They will focus on the last year the most, but we can look at the past 3 years of sales, and that's valid sales. So then the next third year is a triennial update, and it's only based on statistical. Someone is not reviewing your property for correct data. We're just doing statistical data based on sales from the previous 3 years. And that's where Holmes County's at right now. We had a 2025 triennial update. You will hear more about it this fall when we send out postcards. And I've been working with the Ohio Department of Taxation for the last 2 months to come to an agreement on what those numbers needed to be. And you will see the results. Taxes run a year behind. So 2025 taxes are paid in 2026. So this triennial update will affect your taxes in 2026. So I think it's important for folks to understand the job that we have on the real estate side. It's ongoing. It's not just these every 3 year updates. We pick up new construction every day, which can take an employee, my appraiser, almost 3 months to pick up. I mean, Holmes County is full of new construction. It's if a building's been torn down. We want the records of folks to be accurate. So when there's changes on the property, you need to let us know. We're on the honor system here. So especially, you know, if you tore down an old barn, let us know so we can get it off your taxes.
Because a building will make a difference when it comes to that appraisal for your properties.
That's correct. The state wants the auditor values on record to be at 90 to 100% of market value. So what they do, they take all of our reports, they collect all of our conveyance forms, all reports, they do their own reports, they come back and tell me, well, Jackie, at ag land, you're only 60% of what it's selling for on the open market. Or Jackie, for residential, you're only at 80% of what stuff's selling for on the open market. So these, then at that point, we are mandated to get it to 90%. And that can be done by many ways. We can increase building schedules. We can change land values. Home sites are fairly high in certain areas in the county. They include your well and septic in a home site. It's an improved site. There's many ways we can get it to there, but it's a challenge, and it's not always fun. And properties sell high in Holmes County. We do break it down. It's not countywide. We break values down by district, by township, by village, sometimes by neighborhood. If there's a neighborhood within a township that's affecting the whole township, we'll pull that allotment out and make it its own territory. So there's a lot that goes into it.
And it's one of those things where you put the numbers together that you feel represent Holmes County, and the state still has to oversee and approve what you're giving to them.
Approve? Yes, they have to approve it. And I will tell you, I've worked with them for the last couple of months, and they have not approved my initial numbers turned in a couple of times. So we've worked together to come up with something that is approved, and we finally got that approval. And so, yes, it's good for Holmes County that values are where they are, and that there's a desire, you know, between willing buyers and willing sellers to buy this property for these amounts. But it also affects everyone. These sales affects everyone. So, and the valid sale has to be between a willing buyer, willing seller. So if you buy your neighbor's property, it's not a valid sale. It does not go towards the state's statistics. If you sell a property to your son, and again, that's an invalid sale, it does not go. So we need to do our best at determining what's a valid and invalid sale. Sometimes we don't get enough information, and we have to ask for more information because the state only uses valid sales to determine these ratios.
And that's something I'm learning today. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize there was a difference in the sales. So with the property, the values of the property, that will lead us into property taxes and levies and how you guys handle all that. And we'll touch on that in our last segment. Of course, we're saving the biggest topic for last. And I am speaking with Holmes County Auditor Jackie McKee for WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick. And we're back one final time here on a Focus Friday on WKLM. I'm Melissa Patrick, and I'm speaking with Holmes County Auditor Jackie McKee. And we started the big talk on real estate last segment. And, you know, that really ties into a lot of things when it comes to your job.
Correct. It ties into a lot of things. It's a required mandate, as we spoke before. And basically, I want to wrap that up, that the market sets the value, and that's all state mandated. So when you see things selling on the market for double the auditor value, that's going to affect our next 3 years' numbers. But you also need to ask yourself, what would your property sell for on the open market? So many times, folks are okay with the auditor value. Oh, I would not sell my house for that. But when they see the tax bill, then that's what is upsetting. So a couple things keep in mind: that most taxes are set by the majority of the voters. There's inside millage and outside millage. The inside millage is unvoted. It goes to the schools, the county, the townships, and the park district. Outside millage is everything that's been voted on by the voters. So, do you want to get into
let's dive in.
Coming?
We're now in the Marina Trench. I don't know why we're going ocean, but yes. I felt that was appropriate because it's deep, and
it
we're going to get in deep.
It is. Folks will this fall get a postcard explaining the update and information of where to go to find out their new value. And the biggest question we will get is, what will my taxes be? And we will not be able to get those taxes numbers until it'll be towards the end of December, the 1st of January. And that is because many of the levies, there is tax reduction factors applied by the Ohio Department of Taxation. So if a levy was voted in to bring $1 million in and values increase, that levy is going to be rolled back, so it still brings in $1 million. So in a normal world, you would see a slight increase from the inside millage on your taxes and everything else rolled back. But the reason folks have been getting upset with a high increase in taxes, the main reason is the 20 mil floor for the school districts. So both our schools are at the 20 mil floor. Our schools do a fantastic job. And this is nothing they've done. This was implemented by the state legislature in 1977. It's called the 20 mil floor. In Ohio, it refers to state law that guarantees school districts a minimum level of property tax revenue for operating expenses. It specifically ensures that the effective tax rate for schools operating levies cannot fall below the 20 mil floors. So as these levies get rolled back, they fall below the 20 mil floor, and then there's this revenue that they get from the value updates. That's, one could say, is unvoted, but it's state ordered, and it's been in place since 1977. I believe it was probably put in place to help a small number of school districts, and now I would guess to say more than a majority of school districts are at the 20 mil floor. So this is what the increase that we generally see. So in districts where there is 20 mil floor, which both our schools are at, homeowners will experience a larger tax increase when property values rise because the tax reduction factors don't fully offset the new values.
And the 20 mil floor is not the levies that you vote on. This is a whole separate thing versus the levies you see for the schools.
That is correct. We have different kinds of levies. There's operating levies, emergency levies, replacement levies, renewal levies, permanent levies, substitute levy, bond levies. There's all kinds of levies, but this is separate. This is saying that when those schools, the certain levies get rolled back and they fall below 20 mils, the schools are guaranteed that money. So when there's an increase in value, the 20 mil floor is going to affect your taxes.
And so, you know, while we're talking taxes, that's a really good explanation because a lot of folks don't understand how taxes for the schools work, that there's that it's kind of like a base money and then there's the levied money. That's like the extra to fill in where the base isn't getting.
Yes, it just brings them up to a certain level of funding.
And so along with school taxes, if you go onto the website and look at what you're paying on your property, you'll see a whole lot of other different taxes on there as well to go along with school taxes.
That's correct. If you go to the tax section on your parcel, which you can find by your parcel number, your name or address on the website, you actually can see a graph of where your tax money goes. So some folks are surprised where all it goes. You know, there's townships and schools and the DD
and fire departments,
the county home, fire departments. There's a whole range of places where your local taxes go. And that's something else I often hear is they think the local tax money goes to state or elsewhere. The taxes you pay on your taxes stays in Holmes County. And you can see that breakdown, or you can call in and we can help you with it and explain it to you as well.
And there's been a lot of talk about getting rid of property taxes. But as we just talked about, there's a lot of things that are funded through the property taxes.
There is. And when I hear about this ballot initiative, I think of all the potential fallout that could happen. You know, fire departments rely on it. I mean, between safety, you know, the county receives real estate tax. How could that affect safety and operations of county government? How would it affect the county home? Many services that our community has grown accustomed to, a certain level of services. I think this issue wouldn't have come to be if we didn't have these large spikes of taxes every 3 years. And that's what the state legislature has been trying to deal with, but has been unsuccessful to help Holmes County folks for anything for next year. So that's where we're at. The state needs to come up with a solution to tamper down some of these increases. We would all expect probably a small increase every 3 years, but not the large increases. And with that, the farmers had seen some CAUV increases where it's complicated, but the state does a formula for every 5 years with a farming revenue expenses, and they come up with new soil values. And our farmers have seen some large increases, and it appears for next year it's pretty much flatlined. So our farmers will be okay that way, but on the building side, home site side, they're going to see an increase in taxes. And it's all state mandated per these 3-year updates.
There's nothing you can do to stop it.
There's nothing I can do to stop it. Board of Revision is another board I sit on where folks can come in and complain about their file complaint on their value of their home. The mass appraisal process is not perfect. So if there's something, we have, you know, $300,000 in your house and you are certain it's only worth $200,000, you can file a complaint. But you have to provide proof of why you think it is that value. Many times we don't see a complaint filed until they get a tax bill and it's not really the value, it's the taxes they're upset with. And we totally understand. We totally understand. Seniors are going to have a hard time with this set on when they have a set income. We understand. It's hard. We're just doing our job.
And your mandated job, I guess, is the yes. biggest important thing there. And so, you know, we're just watching to see what the legislature does with this, because Ohio is very diverse and they've got to make something fit for everybody. So it's a tough gig.
It is. It's very tough. And I wouldn't want their job deciding on a fix that the consequences could be so different for different people. The Auditor Association for a couple years has tried to address this issue. There's a few things that we would like to see done, but nothing has gotten that far yet. I think there was some things and it was vetoed by the governor. We'd like to expand the homestead program, which helps our seniors. We would like to create a menu of targeted relief for those folks that are struggling to stay in their homes. We would like to, and while not always popular, limit the growth in revenue received by school districts due to reappraisal changes in the 20 mil floor. Let's cap that to a number. Let's cap that at something versus
just letting
versus
it run
high
off.
Numbers. High, you know, these double digit numbers. And Holmes County is not the only one in this boat. There's 30 some counties this year that are going through this, and many counties are seeing 20 to 40% increases in different categories. So it's going to hit a lot of people across the state hard, and this cycle keeps happening every 3 years, and we would like some fixes to curb this high.
So people can afford to live.
That's correct.
Because we all want to own a home. That's the American dream, is to own a home, and you shouldn't lose that just because of taxes.
Correct.
Because you've paid for it.
We need a balance. We need a balance of we want these services. We're willing to pay. And you see Holmes County voters say yes to many, many levies. So they want these services, but they're not expecting these spikes every 3 years. So that is what we need to concentrate on, I think, is these spikes. And the Auditors Association has been working hard. They've been doing, you know, multiple things around the state. We have a session coming up in Knox County, inviting the press in and doing a talk about what can we do, what changes can we make, you know, to be an advocate for folks that are in their homes and struggling.
And, you know, as we're looking to wrap up our time, we saved the biggest elephant in the room to talk about here. Are there any last thoughts about your office, about taxes, about any of it to share with folks before we call it a wrap?
Well, I just thank you for having me today and the opportunity to get the word out. I want to do a shout out to my staff. I mean, this would all be impossible without them. They all have their special niche in the office that they handle, but they have so many things they have to do. So, you know, like I said, no 2 days are the same. They do a great job. I appreciate them. And working with the local governments, the school districts, they're all great. We're all in this together. It's not just my office in this. This is, you know, this is a commissioner topic. This should be everybody's topic right now with the tax situation.
And so if anybody has any questions or anything, they can check the website. They can call your office. They can stop in. Your doors open during business hours.
Correct. It is. And many times it's stopping me at Walmart or stopping me at Rodie's as well. I will answer questions anytime. And if I don't have an answer, I will get one for you.
Thank you so much for sharing with us just while we took a deep dive, it was still just a snippet of what you're doing.
I would agree with that. And I thanks for the opportunity and thanks for the time. And thank you to WKLM.
That was Holmes County Auditor Jackie McKee, and for WKLM's Focus Fridays, I'm Melissa Patrick. Focus Fridays is being brought to you by Hobrins Insurance, Holmes Siding, Rhodey's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. Make sure to tune in each and every Friday for Focus Fridays in the 9 a.m. hour after hometown news and the Ion weather forecast. If you do happen to miss an episode of Focus Fridays, you can always go to the website WKLMFM.com and click on the Focus Friday icon, and it'll give you the option of which one you want to listen to. And in our next edition for Focus Fridays, we focus in on Holmes County Treasurer Leslie Mast. It's all here on your hometown radio, 95.3 WKLM.